Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Well, this is a huge deal for The Mike O'Mara Show. I have to be honest with you. I have seen this man twice. I've seen him in Las Vegas. I have seen him at the Birchmere, along with my old radio partner, Don Geronimo, and Rob Spiewak. Remember, we got the suits and ties on, and we went out to see Wayne at the Birchmere? Do you remember
that,
Rob?
We were the best-dressed crew in the crowd. I know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled beyond words to... Well, I have plenty of words. I am thrilled to welcome the Midnight Idol, Mr. Las Vegas, a legend, a true legend. There are not many of those around anymore. I will tell you, Wayne Newton is on the Mike O'Mara Show. Wayne Newton!
Hey, welcome, guys.
Yay.
How's it going?
Yay, Wayne Newton. Oh, this is so... We've been trying... Rob, how long have you tried to get Wayne Newton to come on the Mike O'Mara Show?
Over 3 years now. I was so delighted to get the email last night that you had some time for us today. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Well, I got to say, I've been looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to the concert. So, guys, it's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Let me mention that Wayne will be at Ovations Live at the Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino in Chandler, Arizona. His ongoing engagement is Wayne Newton, up close and personal, at Cleopatra's Barge at Caesars in Las Vegas, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays through the end of the year. You can get all the information on Wayne at WayneNewton.com. That's the official site of Mr. Las Vegas. Before we start with anything, I want to get it right out of the way. Wayne, before we get started, can you say anything about Monkey Gate? You don't live at Casa de Shenandoah anymore, but oh my God, one of the monkeys bit a little girl. What's happened since you left? The monkeys have gone insane.
The truth of the matter is I really don't know anything about it. I've never served or anything like that. And so I know less than you guys know because I don't really read the internet a whole lot.
Right.
So I really don't know anything about it yet.
Don't worry about it, Wayne. I read a lot about it, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big a deal. But they're still associating you with Casa de Shenandoah. It's Mr. Las Vegas, still Mr. Las Vegas after all these years. What is the key, Wayne, to doing what you do and continuing to do it, such an amazing run? What keeps you going? What keeps you chugging along? You're still at the top of your game.
I got to tell you that when I was 4 years old, my parents took me to see a Grand Ole Opry Roadshow in Roanoke, Virginia. And it was Hank Williams, Hawkshaw Hawkins, and Kitty Wells. And we were so far back in the arena that I really couldn't see the performers. So I found myself looking around at the audience around me. And I saw the happiness that those people brought them. And I looked at my mom and I said, that's what I want to do. And that's what has been for me, is to try and bring some happiness into people's life that might be a little stressed out about everything that's going on. So that's what's kept me going, and it's the look on the audience's face.
You know, when I think of you, Wayne Newton, and I don't know how many years ago Vegas Vacation was a big film hit, but you seem to write the book on not taking yourself too seriously, of understanding that, the man, the image, the Mr. Las Vegas thing. How important was that, not taking yourself too seriously in your career? Because I think it opened a lot of doors for you, didn't it?
No question about it. And there were people that helped me out along the way, like Lucille Ball and Frank Sinatra and Bobby Darin and Jack Benny.
Those names. Wow. I love hearing those names.
Because I learned from them, not in a lesson situation, but just observing them. And all of them had a great dignity about them. And the reality of having some notoriety, the thing that goes with that, most importantly, is how you handle yourself in public. So I think I learned it from the masters, and it's always just simply been a part of my DNA.
I'm an impressionist. I feel like I should send you royalty checks. I've been doing it. I'm a low level one. I'm not one of the biggies. So I mean, I'm lucky to have this podcast, to be honest with you, Wayne. But I've impersonated you for years. Did any one impressionist or impression of you get under your skin? And is there anyone you enjoyed more than the others? I mean, you've been impersonated forever. Is there anything that stood out with that? I mean, you have to take it as fun, I guess, right?
Well, you have to, and you have to also realize that some of the people, present company excluded,
thank you.
Some of the people do not handle themselves well in public. And we had a Wayne Newton impersonator in Vegas some years ago that was just rude to everybody. And it would, you know, it would come back to me that Wayne Newton was at a barber shop in at the Riviera, and he was rude to everybody.
Oh, God.
So I had to send the guy a note, and I did, because it wasn't only my persona that he was messing with, but the importance of his own career. You know,
I'm hearing you say this, and I asked you a question based on me doing an impression of Wayne, and then I realized you're so big, and we're so thrilled to have you on the show. There are Wayne Newton impersonators,
yes, exactly.
Like Elvis impersonators.
Like
that's
career
what he
stuff,
was
yeah.
talking about. Rob, I know you're thrilled. You've been trying to get Wayne on the show for a long time. It's Rob Spiewak, Wayne.
Wayne,
hey,
it is such a pleasure to chat with you. You brought up some amazing names there. I can't imagine sharing a stage with Jackie Gleason or Lucille Ball, but when you say Bobby Darin, I must ask, I've heard that the song Donkashane, which, by the way, now it's 56th anniversary of being a song that everyone knows. Congratulations on
Thank
one of
you.
The greatest hits of all time. Is it true Bobby Darin brought Donkashane to you?
He did. What he did is he saw my first television show, national television show, which was Jackie Gleason.
The Jackie Gleason Show!
He saw that, and he checked around to see where I was working, and we were at the lounge at the Copacabana just so we could stay in New York and do more Gleason shows. And so he came to my opening, which was the next night after the first Gleason show, and he sat in the audience, and I walked out, and I looked back because it was a small room, and I saw Bobby Darin sitting there. Well, I went into temporary paralysis, and I don't remember what I sang or said or anything like that. But when I finished the first set, I went to walk off stage, and there was a waiter standing there. And he said, Mr. Darin wants to meet you.
Cool.
And so I went back, and Bobby stood up, and he said, I'm Bobby Darin. And I said, I know. And so, he said, well, I saw you on the Jackie Gleason show last night. And he said, I came here to ask you a question. And I said, yes, sir, go ahead. And he said, are you recording? I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, well, you are now. You and I will be in the studio next week, and I will be producing your records from this point forward.
Wow.
And that's
so
how it happened?
Next week, I'm in a studio. The song he handed me was Donkashane. So while I was learning it with the pianist of the session, Bobby was working with the rest of the band to make sure that the arrangement was exactly the way he wanted it. And I found out about a year after Donkashane had been released and became a monster of a hit that the song was truly written for Bobby Darin to record and follow his hit of Mack the Knife with it.
Oh, my God. And it was your signature song.
When you sing two songs, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yep.
Donkashane, darling, Donkashane, thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony, was the place we'd meet. Second seat, go Dutch treat, you were sweet.
Wayne, you're so nice to join us, and we want to make sure that we get our plugs in. Your show, The Ongoing Engagement, Up Close and Personal, is that that's a different kind of show than your normal show that you do in the bigger theaters?
Well, actually, our normal show is a small part of the Up Close and Personal show.
Okay.
But because we use just one or two clips from the past, as they say.
Right.
I think the biggest difference is that when we're doing Up Close and Personal, we use a lot of tracks and three musicians.
It's Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. We've only got you for 5 minutes more. I want to get these in. Let me see. I got so many questions. I've had Wayne Newton. I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Mike, he
here.
Told you to present right. yourself well. Relax.
Briefly, the biggest single change in Vegas that you've seen over the years, if there's a sentence you could give us on that, what's the biggest change in your the old days?
I think that it would be the lack of personal attention that some of the casinos give to the customer. When it became corporate owned, as opposed to individually owned or that kind of thing, then, of course, the corporations have a totally different idea of what Las Vegas is all about. And so the biggest difference I have seen is that, you know, everything must show a profit and everything must do this and everything must do that. And so they've moved away from what made Las Vegas great, in my opinion.
Yeah, the stars. Do you look back on your career, reflect on anything that you would do differently? Any regrets at all? Something, if I hadn't done that, you know, you've had a great career professionally. Right. It's been wonderful. Anything you look back on with any regret whatsoever?
No, it was interesting because I think in retrospect, as I reflect on it, the things that I thought were going to ruin my life and career that happened in my life so far turned out to be blessings when I look back on them now. Like when I got in a big fight with the head of Harris Club in Lake Tahoe and asked him if some of the acts that came in his main showroom, some of them don't have opening acts, so could I be their opening act and just pay me the same thing you're paying me to work the lounge? And he became furious, and he said, you will never work our main room, and called me a lot of names. And he pounded the table, got up, and walked off. And so that's when I decided never to play another lounge. And so I called my manager, and I said, Tom, you're going to have to find us work somewhere, but it won't be in a lounge because I won't do it anymore.
Worked out for you, though, I think.
Yeah, ultimately. Well, within 3 weeks is when I met Jack Benny, and he asked me to be his opening act. And the irony of that was that the opening show that we were doing together was at Harrah's in Tahoe.
Hey, show business.
Wayne wins.
From Hollywood, the Jack Benny Program, with Jack's guests, Wayne Newton and Louis Nye.
You know, Mr. Benny, working with you was an experience that I'll never forget. Whenever I wasn't on stage myself, I'd always stand on the wings and I'd watch you. The way you move your hands and the way you walk.
A lot of people have worked with me and stole my mannerism, you see, but you didn't.
With my voice, I wouldn't dare.
Last question, Wayne. You've been interviewed thousands of times. Has there ever been anything written about you in an article or review where you said, yep, that's me, that's what I'm going for? Or is there something, you know, I mean, when someone gets at this stage of the career, I like to know, what do you want to be known for? What do you really want to be known for?
I think for me, what I want to be known for is that I never let my personal attitudes about religion or politics get into my show, because I feel like the people do not deserve that.
That's wonderful. And, you know, we've been backstage with you at the Birchmere. I'm going to say this about Wayne Newton. Two things. I've seen the show. You walk out of a Wayne Newton show, no matter what your preconceptions are, saying that is an amazingly tight, wonderful show that you'll see.
Such a great show.
Who you are, you're going to feel that way. The other thing is our personal experience, and nothing changed with this interview. You are an extremely nice guy. And really, we appreciated meeting you. It's great having you on the show. Good luck with everything out there in Las Vegas. Stay away from those monkeys, Wayne.
Yes.
All right, stay away from those.
Hey, now, you got to do me one quick favor.
Yes.
Just promise me that you'll invite me back again with no time limits.
Yeah, I'd love to have you on. Wayne, seriously, we could do the 90-minute podcast just with you, and I will take you up on that, my friend. Thank you very much, Wayne Newton. It was
a
pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Wayne.
Appreciate it.
Have
That's
a great
Wayne
night.
Newton. Saturday, August 17th, he will be at Ovations Live, Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino in Chandler, Arizona, and his ongoing engagement, Wayne Newton, up close and personal. It's a smaller room and a smaller band that he brings. Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays through the end of the year. Tickets and info at WayneNewton.com. And I didn't get to ask him about Johnny Carson. I know you're going to tell me about that,
next
but that's
time,
okay.
Next time we'll get it. And also, we ran
that's
out of time.
That's a great question you asked, Rob, because you have your nerdnik questions that fascinate me, too. I had no idea that whole thing. He loved talking about it. He doesn't get that from anybody.
That's awesome. I got
great
a little
job.
Bit of chill going on right now. That was pretty cool to talk to him. And the one thing we wanted to ask him is, since he really only works Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Caesars, we could have him open for us at the 10th anniversary. So,
hey, You know what? Hold on.
I'll be in touch. Don't think I won't.
Be in touch. Just I'm talking 30 seconds.
That's all.
Just to come out, ladies and gentlemen, I would... No, he's not going to do it. We can't pay him. That's the way it goes. But that's Wayne Newton. I hope you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen. Happy weekend, everybody. We had Wayne Newton on the show. We'll be right back with more fun and thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, kids, where do you want to go for dinner?
Amato!
Now Jim Amato is going to, like, sell a veggie burger.
Amato burgers.
I love beef, but I'll take this.
You'll not believe the incredible Mike O'Mara burger.
This Amato veggie burger is fantastic.
Oh, God, these are good.
Welcome to Amato's, Pittsburgh's favorite burger.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
At Amato's, we pack our burgers with top-quality cuts of beef and prepare everything with tender love and care.
Did they teach you that here?
Brad.
If you're hungry for laughs, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? Supersize the fun with a yearly subscription at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Yeah, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
The best of O'Mara.
We taped that interview earlier this week with Wayne Newton. We played it at the beginning of the show. I am curious, during that interview, did someone talk to you and say you've got like a minute left or something?
Yeah, I got
like
a text from his handler. And I tell him what I always said. I said, we're wrapping now.
Oh, God. But, I mean, they said 15 minutes. And then I looked and I wrapped up like before 15 minutes was over with him. That frustrates me. I wanted every second. I could have gotten into more stuff with Wayne. But it was still an amazing experience because that is showbiz royalty.
It's purest form, yeah.
What's he, 77, 78 years old
now? I believe 77.
Right?
I think, didn't we determine 77? I'll find out.
Yeah, and we were talking. It's just, it's very, very cool. After I assumed that he had been on the show. Because I've done impressions of Wayne Newton for my whole career.
Yep.
I really thought he had been on the show. But
77 he is.
77 years young.
I can remember one particular time we were doing a live remote from Las Vegas. We were out there for a fight. And Wayne was the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. And you went on an entire riff about his handler for the Arabians was Rollo. And Rollo also made his hair dye for him. And it was 25 minutes. And it's one of the hardest times you've ever made me laugh.
Rollo.
So
Rollo is done such a fabulous job. Oh, yes.
Anyway, it was Wayne Newton. And we've got a special guest, one of the P1 of P1s, a guy that really, I should call him our production director.
Yes.
He does so many fun promos for us, and he is a wonderful guest always when he comes on the show. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Mr. Jim Amato is
Hello,
here
duties.
Right now. Hi, how are you?
Hey, duties. Hi.
Jim, how are you? What brings you to our nation's capital?
Well, too much stress at work, and I needed to break away, so I figured I'd come to the stress of D.C., you know, with the hot, muggy weather and, you
Wonderful.
Know, economy that's falling apart. But, you know, what can I say?
Always good to see you. If
you're going to visit D.C., visit in August. That's what I always say.
Speaking of stress, I didn't talk. I wanted to say two things about my kid and his first week of kindergarten. Number one, what a trooper. What a great kid. What a great feeling it is to have a child going to school and coming home from school in a great mood, which we went through an entire year at Montessori, where he was, I'm not going to slam him, but I'll slam him, that he was not happy. He didn't like the experience. And something was going on at that school where they always keep the lights off because they want to keep the kids chill. Whatever. I'm sorry. I didn't like the experience either. I didn't talk about it a lot because he was in that school.
Yeah.
But this year, the first week of school has gone so swimmingly, and I give him credit because you know what? That little guy, that's a scary thing to go to the bus stop and on our bus stop. I got to tell you, I talked about it briefly yesterday. You have two main arteries in Southwest Florida. You have 75, which is the interstate.
And the average age.
You know, no school bus drops out there. And then you have 41, which is the old interstate.
Right.
And in the morning at, 20 before 7 a.m., it is bat-ass crazy with cars going to work. And we have seen, in the 1 week we've taken him to school, we have seen two people fly by the school bus when the flashers come out because it's a two-lane road.
Sure.
And we have seen a cop pop one of them yesterday.
Good.
And today, but today was the day of days because today we're waiting for him. And the flashers go on well before he gets picked up. They start the flashers to let people know the bus is stopping well before. And today, I found a sound effect that I will play you.
Good.
This is what we heard. We were just getting ready to step him onto the bus when we hear this.
Oh my. Are there dinosaurs down there?
Yeah, good sound. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. There it is. There is an old pickup in the left lane who feared arrest.
Sure.
I guess more than anybody else. This guy had to lock him up.
Essentially, he put it into park.
Oh, at least 500 feet.
Oh, he must have been flying.
We're starting to step across the little sidewalk to the bus, and we look and we freeze. And this is why, for anybody that's on a busy, trafficy road, wait till the bus comes, opens the door, wait till all that traffic coming and going is stopped, because it's just people are getting their work on and they don't know what's going on, and it's crazy. And
two rules
and the bus
that
was late today.
That I never bend. And you know, everyone's going through a yellow light, everyone's exceeded the speed limit. I've never gone around a bus, especially a school bus. Scares the hell out of me what could happen. And I give motorcycles a lot of room, but especially school bus stuff. Because, you know, you think about, these are little kids. They don't know to watch for you, and you got to be careful.
Well, he's on the door side, so he's on the safe side. So he has to cross the street.
Still.
But it's still, scary.
What's his name? Caesar, his driver? Cleo?
Senega. All right. Let me throw this out.
Okay.
All right.
He was late today.
He's big time late today. Like 20 minutes late today.
Not okay.
Like not good.
No.
Not good. And every day, it's been something. All right. Yesterday, he was a no-show totally. I don't know what the deal is, but here are the excuses I've gotten.
Well, my business schedule has such a hassle.
It's such a total hassle, man. My question to you, as somebody who's dealt with this much more recently, during my, you know, my older daughter's tenure, I drove them to school.
Right on.
I drove them to school. In a golden chariot.
What? You didn't have a chauffeur?
With cash flying out of the windows. No chauffeur. No. Played Buddy Rich for him. Played Big Swing Face, The Beat Goes On.
Nice.
I think they couldn't wait. From Big Swing
Face. They couldn't wait to get out of the car.
they still love Kathy Rich, Buddy's daughter, at 13, singing The Beat Goes On. They
oh, that's
that
right.
Song.
I forgot about
forget.
That. Mm-hmm.
Dad played that. Played. Wanted me to play it every morning. It was
I was jamming the Chameleon last night. On the way down.
Boom, 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 boom. I love that.
Is Kathy still with us? Kathy Rich? Did she inherit her father's good looks?
I think so. You know, I got an interview with her when I was at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Well, I didn't know that. I knew you interviewed Buddy. I didn't know you interviewed her.
I was backstage. Tried to interview Buddy three times. Didn't make the first one. Got turned down in New York because Buddy was having a full-fledged meltdown with his band, and you could hear him backstage. Over t-shirts. You are paying. Hey, you're picking the scab. That's I like right. that. So he say, it's funny, Jim doesn't piss me off. I don't mind you. Like you say, Jim's here. Let him come in.
Sure.
Jim's fine. You know,
something magical about that seat. I just,
It's so amazing.
Kathy Rich, I couldn't get Buddy. He said, manager said, not tonight.
Yeah.
Just because you could hear like, I don't work for Buddy. God damn it. And you're hearing him screaming at his band. And then Kathy Rich was there. I said, well, can I interview Kathy? Can I interview you? And she's standing there. I said, can I interview you? She said, sure. And I interviewed her.
How old was she when you did that?
About her dad.
Oh, God. I mean, was she still
youngish? Probably close to my age.
Okay.
Very close to my age.
So probably a big deal for her to be singled out for an interview because she was still pretty young.
And I was kind of hitting on her.
Yeah,
at the same
sure.
time, you know, that's what I was doing. But it was fun. It was fun. Buddy was cool. And the bus thing is new to me. And my question for you would be that, all right, the two times the lateness has occurred this week, one was it didn't start. It's a brand new bus. I drove a school bus.
I remember
that, right? And the second one today was I had to help with another route in the morning. And I'm just wondering if I'm getting the, you know, because really anybody who's chronically late, as we know from the seat you're sitting in, Jim, you will get the excuse du jour.
I don't buy the bus wouldn't start. I don't buy that.
That's the first day, by the way.
Okay.
That was the first day.
I don't buy that. I do believe that sometimes the route thing does happen where they have to assist with other routes. I have to ask you this. When Michael got on this morning, were there other kids on the bus?
He's the first pickup.
Then how is he helping with a route? What is he picking up or dropping off? Because it's 6:30. He's lying to you.
Yeah.
Seneca is lying to you. Seneca is a liar.
I don't know. I just wondered about
that. But also give him this. It is the first week. Yeah. And maybe the system isn't quite in place yet. I think the second week will be a bigger determiner as to whether or not he's a chronic liar or an occasional fibber. But he did lie this week. I promise you that.
My commentary on elementary school, which is new as a 60-year-old man, as the square peg in the round hole, I have to tell you, T-shirt today. Today is Spirit Day. So he wears his elementary school T-shirt. And on the back was something like, "My superpower is kindness." And I said to my wife, I said, "You know, if that's the way they're rolling, I'm all in. I'm gonna be jumping into this stuff. I like the fact that they've got all these little crumb crunchers running around, and they, you know, maybe it's because of the experience I had last year, I really think I think several of them were out in the back just going right before school started. But I will tell you, this year they just, I mean, processing all these kids, just the logistics of getting them into classrooms and all that." I just think they're phenomenal. And I think, I'm sorry, in my first week is the first. I could turn on a dime.
Yeah, true.
I could turn on a dime.
But you know this, it's bad enough dealing with 1 5-year-old. These people are dealing with dozens of 5-year-olds and getting it done.
They have the systems. I don't know, you know, if it's the particular school that he's attending.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but I am very, very, very impressed. And I like the kindness and, you know, the whole system of the way they're teaching these kids not to bully and all that. Right now, I'm all in on it. And good. I'm very, very happy.
Was Seneca wearing a T-shirt? Schools. A Spirit T-shirt?
No.
Was his superpower that he was immune to clocks?
You know what I got today?
Was Seneca even wearing a shirt?
Here's the thing. What I got today was from him, I had to stay on the sidewalk. Because every day, I'm the one that walks him right up to the door.
Oh, so he's
and
making
Michael
that
said,
step.
"I want mommy," he said. And then he plays us against each other. So he says, "Can I have mommy walk me to the door?" I said, "Yes, of course you can." So he says, "I'll miss you, Dad. I'll miss you a little more than mommy." And it's just like he does stuff
he
like that.
He is very, very, very peculiar in the way he's that he's cagey. So precise like that.
He's cagey. Yeah. He's a great
How's
kid.
He with his shoes?
I'm very happy. The shoes seem to be the red expensive New Balances were on his little dogs today with nary a peep. With nary a peep.
That's great. That, you know, that says to me, because we thought that might have been a psychosomatic shoe issue.
Right.
I think that he's so happy at school, he's not looking for a thing to complain about anymore.
Well, I am happy. And, you know, it's a good feeling to say, I think he's found the right place. You know, who knows? There's a, you know, this is the first week. But I know it could have gone the other way. And for the parents that, you know, have the scenes that they have to deal with, I've heard about kids that live closer to school that some of these kids bolt. That,
really?
They got to run them down and stuff because their houses are close to the school and they just can't handle it. And,
you know,
I don't know.
Funny.
You know, very fortunate.
It wasn't because I was unhappy, but my through second grade, I went to a school that was next door to my grandparents' house, next door to Big Daddy's house. They actually shared a property line.
Why and, only second grade?
Because that's when we moved to Vienna and the beginning of the end of my life began.
You hated Vienna.
I hate Vienna. Passion, I still right? do. I hate that.
By the way, if you come to Vienna, Virginia, it is a suburb of Washington, D.C., a delightful little suburb of Washington, D.C.
No, it's not delightful.
You've hated Vienna forever.
Overcrowded, too brown. Everyone loves Vienna for no good reason.
Now, listen, you got to correct
that.
But you
had the hams there.
When you say too brown, do you know what that sounds like? You mallet
okay,
head.
Let me say this.
All, right,
all of
Jesus,
the architecture
Rob.
Is brown.
Right.
And if you ever drove through,
good
you'd
save.
Know. You'd know this. And I've said this for years. But the problem with Vienna is they've been so excited about being Vienna. No one has ever thought that, you know what, someday someone's going to need to make a left-hand turn. And there's no way to make a left-hand turn in
but
the entire
city. But
what
does it have to do? You start third grade in Vienna? That's when you went to?
Yeah, that's when I shifted to Flint Hill Elementary, Mike. Flint Hill and on Flint Hill Road. But when I did used to live next to Chesterbrook Elementary, one time I had like a dentist appointment or something. And it was at, I knew the time, I guess. And the whole protocol is when you get out of school early, your parent is supposed to go to the office, say, you know, I'm here for Rob, or at that time, Robbie. And then you get called and you get sent down to the office. I asked my teacher what time it was. We're on the playground. She said, it's almost 12. I said, I got to go. And I just walked home. I just left school because I had a dentist.
Like looked at your watch?
I asked the teacher. I said, what time is it?
And
I
as
said,
like a 7-year-old and said, I've got to roll?
Probably 6, yeah. And
different time.
I was going to say, security a little different. Then. That would be like a lockdown situation nowadays.
Rob Spiewak is out on the Beltway. He's out on the Beltway. Oh, my God. There's a seven-year-old boy with a bald head. Out on, yeah, no, you didn't. By the way, having both of you in the studio right now, it's like I feel like I'm doing a show with a couple of testicles. It's really,
I'm Jim with truly. Two M's.
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. Download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
The best of O'Mara.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to run into the kitchen and get it. I might do that on Monday's show. I might have a sample.
Can you at least describe it?
It is a classic American product that has been turned into a cereal.
Pop-Tarts.
Now, they do that all the time. What's that, Jim?
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. You've seen it?
Yes.
You've seen the strawberry Pop-Tart cereal?
Yes, I did. I was at the Giant Eagle the other day. I don't know. Probably a couple of weeks.
So it is relatively new. I'm pretty sure.
But I saw they did brown sugar cinnamon.
This one was strawberry.
Now, you see, here's why this is intriguing, because this is probably a derivative of my all-time favorite breakfast cereal, which is a seasonal favorite, Frankenberry.
No, because they actually have the goo inside the cereal.
You should write the ad. It's the cereal with the goo inside.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going.
And also, the monster cereals. Hey, Mike.
It's buzzing. You're buzzing.
You're buzzing down there. You need to put your headphones on. You've done something to your board. Put on your headphones. You're humming like you
don't
know.
What the hell happened?
I don't know. You bumped something. There you go.
Wow.
Jesus Christ, what happened?
Is it a cord to one of your sound effects machines?
I don't know, Rob. I'm trying.
Hold it. Wait, you just fixed it. Whatever you just touched fixed it. But don't throw your headphones down in a hateful manner again, because that's what did it.
I didn't throw them down in a hateful... Shut up. God damn.
Well, it's Pop-Tarts, and he ran for the Pop-Tarts.
I know. He's a sugar rage.
That's right.
See, the thing that separates the monster cereals is the marshmallows. And so I'm thinking of a strawberry cereal with the Pop-Tart would not have marshmallows,
no,
I guess.
It has that nice frosting, though.
That sort of serves the same purpose. Probably a crispier thing more than a crunchy.
Right.
So I'm not a big Count Chocula guy. I do like I do like Boo Berry.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought back, I think last Halloween, they brought back Yummy Mummy and Fruit Brute.
Mm-hmm.
All of the great monster cereals.
The Yummy Mummy is great because you can actually taste real bandages in them.
Yes, it's full of gauze.
It tastes like copper.
Oh, you, Mike, I doff my cap to you because that's obviously from Costco. That's a big box.
Bon Mott, doff my cap. Will you two queens get your act together?
But you were talking about monster cereals.
Yes.
They're already out.
Oh, it's too early. I don't even know.
It's too early.
That's the size. That's the Costco size.
Yeah, so there's two bags in there, right?
Yeah, and Mama obviously...
Two Stay Fresh bags.
Yes,
two
Stay
Fresh. Mama dove in, but nobody opened up the stuff.
So wait. Carla ate sugar. Oh, my God. It's the big one. Elizabeth, come get me.
So there's the size. Whoa. They're small.
Do you know it's about the size of a rice check, if you can go singular?
I'm going to try it.
Okay, here we go. Right.
Crunchy?
It's got a tiny little bit of the filling.
The goo.
The goo.
From a strawberry Pop-Tart, but not like, no, it's kind of dry.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's meant to be served with milk, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brilliant.
Well,
no, it's filled with whiskey.
Well, I'm saying that it doesn't have to be as moist as an actual Pop-Tart because most people are eating it with milk. What about the frosting to piece of cereal ratio? Is there any frosting on it?
Mm-hmm. It's got kind of a coating like you'd get with a, what's that, Frosted Mini Wheats type.
Okay,
space-age polymer, as Clark Griswold would say.
I don't know. You know, I'm not putting it in a bowl, so I'm eating it dry.
How's the strawberry? Eat some more, and it'll come to you.
No, I'm not. I can't.
What about the strawberry profile? Is it an overwhelming strawberry flavor? I couldn't possibly. How's the strawberry flavor, the strawberry profile? Does it compare to, say, like a Frankenberry?
It doesn't approximate a Pop-Tart like it should. But I still think that when you put it in a bowl. But great cereal, you can eat dry and
That's
enjoy
true.
It
mm-hmm.
completely. Mm-hmm. And so,
is the strawberry not, taste like strawberry, or does it taste like fake strawberry?
It tastes like something I haven't tasted. It doesn't taste like the filling that's in a regular Pop-Tart. So,
Well, you know, they took just one strawberry per those two bags there.
That's all it is.
They one strawberry.
They sliced it very thin.
It's, I don't know. The jury's out. I can't give you like a rave, like, oh my God, it's the best. But I saw it and, you know, and I checked the calories.
Yeah.
It's 150 calories a cup, which is
a
cup. That's what, 40 calories more than your average cereal.
That's
cup,
not bad.
I
yeah.
think. You know, for your sugary cereal. By the way, there's the thing. Sugary cereals, they're not good for you, but as far as pure calories in, they're not as hefty as, say, a cup of trail mix would be.
That's true.
You think trail mix healthy. Well, trail mix not healthy because calories are off the charts. But cereal, which has no, you know, the king of empty calories is usually pretty low. This is a little higher.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I think I've made a terrible mistake.
Well, no, I mean, you're in for a dime, in for a dollar. Just finish the box and maybe you'll decide you like it.
It's delicious. Anyway, so
you know what's a great cereal? I'm surprised you didn't go for it because they always have it at Costco. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Hard to beat Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
You know, I'm a cereal guy. I like cereals. I really do. I think they're good. But, you know, that one, sometimes you overshoot the runway. And, like, for example, sometimes a cereal that I thought would be gross turns out to be okay. Cookie Crisp was something I thought, oh, this is going to be wretched, but I don't mind it at all. I don't, by the way, I don't ply my son with sugary cereals, but I said to Carla yesterday when we went into the box store,
yes.
I said, we haven't been here in a very, very long time, and I want to have you squirrel away all your nuts and berries and all your little things.
Sure.
And I want to have a few things that are go-tos for me that are treats, but they are not overly caloric.
So you did not buy a sheet cake.
I didn't buy the sheet cake.
No, it's delicious.
I didn't buy the strudel or
did
all the stuff.
Did you get a pizza?
I did not get a pizza. Oh, by the way, we're walking out of the Costco, and in the window, we see the automatic sauce machine that poops out all the sauce on one of the... Have you ever seen that?
No.
You can't tell me you've never seen. You live at the joint. You've never seen
but
this?
You see, our Costco, our food court, they have all that stuff in the back. You can't see that stuff. That's our layout. We've got the old school layout.
Check out in my Costco. You take a left-hand
I love your
turn.
Costco because you sell liquor at your Costco.
In a separate enclave, you know, a little cul-de-sac outside. But it is great. And then there's a picture window after you check out. And in the picture window, they make all the food.
Oh,
and,
my God. I'd love that.
In season, it's, you know, I rarely stop by there because it's bat-ass crazy.
Sure. Little Italian guy with a curvy mustache twirling the pizzas.
I wish it was, Jim. Yes. Let me tell you what I saw. I go by and I see the pizza is on a spinning wheel.
Yes.
And above it is a faucet that's emptying sauce automatically onto the pizza. It starts in the middle and it goes out wider and wider. And Carla says, oh my God, that looks amazing. I said, no, it looks wrong because the machine has succeeded in putting an equal amount of pizza sauce from the middle to the outside, which you're not supposed to do. The great way to make a pizza is that you put the sauce with a ladle in the middle, and then you kind of spoon it out, and it thins out as it gets out to the outside. So they're not doing it correctly.
And I know from
their little machine.
I know from my time with the Uni machine, and you probably can back me up on this, you don't want it to be even, and the biggest mistake you can make when making a pizza is too much sauce. You have to go light on the sauce.
Right. So
you know what else is great at Costco? Is the onion crank when you buy a hot dog. Do you like that?
Oh.
The onion crank where they have it, that grosses me out. That just
really?
I love it.
I think that's technology being used for the right things.
I just wish they had chili there.
Onion distribution.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, join us again for Three Fat Guys Talking Food on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Actually, let's call it what we called it before. One fat guy and two testicles.
We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills.
I'm having
Mike
a ball.
Show.
Let's get to know our friend at KCJJ, Steve Bridges. Did you know that Steve has been on the air since 1965? That's nearly 100 years. He is a member of the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He got the nickname Captain Steve when he served at Pearl Harbor. Steve invented the phrase, the 10th caller wins. He wears glasses, not for vision, but only to make himself look smarter. Steve played Mickey in the popular 1950s show Circus Boy. His cartoon-styled voice inspired the character of Joe Rockhead. And he owns and operates the mighty 1630 KCJJ, the terrestrial flagship broadcast home of the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009, which happens to be the best show on KCJJ. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, KCJJ. You are the best.
1630 KCJJ.
The best of O'Mara.
You know, I'm really hoping that we tweak the look from Maine, that my hair looks better tomorrow, and maybe I get a backdrop sometime in the next 5 days where I can, you know, this look is just not. I look at the videos, and, you know, you guys look fantastic, as always, because you're at the Nerve Center. Me, on the other hand, you know, with the...
It looks like you, and in fairness to you, this is not your fault, but it looks like you're embedded or in some sort of witness protection program.
That's exactly, that's what, you know what?
I wouldn't say it's that bad. I think it looks like he's posing for a driver's license picture. I said, you have to look at the camera, sir, and don't smile.
But a fake ID.
Yeah, laminated.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to tell everybody that I'm doing well.
Hold up today's newspaper.
I'm being treated that, you know.
That's not even funny. That now,
I think
me
he's
out.
Sending us a message with out. His blinks.
Now, you. This is the video somebody gives their loved ones when they say, they paid me to come to Maine. They paid me to
wait,
come to
he's
Maine.
He's sending a message.
In Morse code?
He says S.
Hey, let me see.
Oh, S.
See, no, wait. Hold on. See, shut up, Rob. Let me see if I can do it.
You know Morse code? Mm-hmm. He does?
Yeah, that was. I just sent you SOS.
SOS.
Oh.
You're not supposed to do that like on any broadcast.
Nah, and that's what they say when you're a kid.
It's
you
the internet.
You're on a walkie-talkie.
You're also not allowed to make a pop record with a siren in it. People pull their car over.
Listen to this.
You could save us if we were ever in like an...
Wait, I think, Mike, I think it's ...
No, it's ...
Let me double check, because I don't want to... If you're
How
in
do
danger,
you both
we need
know
to know
Morse
this.
Code?
We're a little older than you.
I don't know what it is. Don't look it up. I don't want to be, I don't, you know what I'm not in the mood for at 60
Morse today, code.
To come back and go, it is ... Because you wouldn't be looking it up. You wouldn't be looking it up if you didn't know it was true. So yeah, I'll yield to you.
Okay? All right. Well, I just
so
want
don't
to make
have to
sure
go through
we know.
The exercise of you being correct. I'm not in the mood on a Tuesday for that after I got critiqued on my hair.
There was no critique. It was, we're trying to help.
Yeah, I know. My hair is, you know what? It, between the sheet that I broadcast in front of, with Angie yesterday, I was very, very aware of the appearance of Maine up there.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to do the mailbag right out of the gate
okay.
today. I want to tell a story. Oscar called yesterday afternoon. We were taking care of some business, and Oscar called right after this had happened. It's very frustrating, and this is a bit heavy, when you have to say to a little kid who walks into your room in the morning and says, Daddy, why do people steal? And he's very serious about it. Yesterday, wanted to take a little boat ride with my 5-year-old boy and went down to the dock and got in to the boat. And it's an inflatable. It's a used, ratty inflatable with a couple of little aluminum oars.
Yeah.
And that's what I row out to the Mary O that I own with my sister. And we launched it 2 days ago, and it's the thing we do up here. It's our fun. And he said, and Michael this year is really into the boat, wants to go on the boat. So I get on the boat and I look, and there's an oar gone. Now these oars are so small
How
that they screw.
Small are
it's
they?
so small they screw into the dinghy. They screw on a little knob and they're attached to this.
So they don't even have like an oar lock. It's actually attached
no, it's
to
not
the boat.
A, it's a raft.
Okay.
Really. It's,
all right.
It's a raft. And I bought it used. It's not cheap, but I bought it used. It's kind of banged up. And suddenly I went, oh my God, it's been taken. And down there where these boats are tied up, over the years, there's been a theme of occasionally things taken. And then I get, but I got into the boat, which is, by the way, get an aerial photograph of that. Get a shot of me getting in and out of that dinghy on a dock. I mean, it's really,
However,
it's a process.
It was impossible for you 1 year ago today.
It was.
And so you're doing it now, so that's good.
I did it.
You are doing
I did it.
And
that was a good thing. And so I get out, Because I said, well, you can't row out to a boat with one oar. And I noticed that the boat has been improperly tied up. When it was tied up, as a matter of fact, Zach, my buddy up here, the lobsterman, he had tied it up, and I let him do it. And I was watching the way he does it. You always compare notes about how something, and it was just loosely flapped around. So obviously the boat had been tampered with, the little dinghy had been tampered with, and it had been stolen. And I've had other stuff stolen, and it just sucks. It just sucks. It just
it's hard because your boating environment up there, and we've been on your boat, we've been there, and it's beautiful, but it requires a certain amount of trust. You can't lock it up like you do a car.
Well, I could have unscrewed them and taken them with me, which I probably should have done.
Still,
and there were a couple other inflatable things that had attached little aluminum oars. They're cheap little, I mean, relative. Look, the bottom line is somebody effed with it, and it was on the heels of an online theft that I'd endured maybe 3 or 4 days earlier.
Right.
Which just has me in a, you know, in a mode where, and my little man walks in this morning and said, why do people steal? Isn't that amazing? The innocence of a 5-year-old where he,
because
where
they
he
don't
says
know.
That. And then, it's just,
what do you do? I mean, do you just throw on Ozark and say, these are the various ways people can steal?
You know what? I just said there are some people that, there's some people that are bad people. That's what I said. Some people are just bad people, and you know that's why. But you really become aware of it when you have a little one, and you're looking in his eyes, and you're saying that. And you know, and Carla laughed at me because I said I was going to drive down there at night when it was dark. And she said, "What are you, a private investigator?" Ha ha ha! I said, "You know, this hurts me too. This hurts me too. After I got screwed with online,
it's
too.
So nice that she'd support
what
you.
What is the deal? I mean." I understand that going back to the cavemen, that people have taken other people's stuff.
Right.
But when did it become, especially online, just absolute daily, routinely.
You're fighting off and fending off.
It's just, you know, I like the day. I pine for the days of Al Capone where, you know, you had to have a machine gun and blast your way out of a bank.
Well, the answer's in the question,
to what it
Mike,
is now where,
it's
well,
gotten easier. And that's why it's more
it's
common.
It's gotten easier. That's right. And but it's not. But the same old thing, you know, where people disrespecting other people's property. And well, I guess the long and short of it, after many, many rants on this program, I'm going to buy a I'm buying an arsenal.
Good
I'm
for you.
Be calling Chad Dukes today. And I said, Chad, send me the gun safe. I'm arming myself. No, I'm not. No, I'm not going to do that. But it was just when you get a 1-2 punch of that,
right?
The local vandals, it's kids.
I
couldn't think of it as anything other than kids. But the, you know, one oar, what did they do with one oar? I have no idea. Or maybe it fell off and they just said, F it. I don't know, but it's missing. But then the large scale organized crime, targeting you know, money.
Yes.
That's frustrating.
Let me ask
as well.
Let me ask you this, Mike.
It's gotten me in a bit of a funk about my fellow man.
Of course. Explain to your son that there are bad people and there are selfish people and there are people that justify their crimes as being quote unquote victimless. Because
right.
they feel like either a bank or a financial institution is gonna cover that cost because that's what they're insured for. That doesn't mean it's victimless. I guess to get to your earlier point where you want to find out who took your oar, I would say that you go to the most obvious answer and I guess assumption is that there's probably someone in town with one arm.
That's true.
Yes, sir. It's the one-arm bandit, just like a slot machine.
There or, plan B, go. You have that beautiful view from your family's house of the bay. Go and see if you can find a craft that's just going in circles.
All right. Appreciate it. I understand it means nothing to you two, but it means everything to me, okay? Not everything.
We're just trying to make you laugh.
That's all.
I try to order a new one. And because
you got to buy them in pairs?
Because, no, you don't have to buy them in pairs.
Oh, good.
Okay, good.
Because there's a hole in it, and you can just flip it over.
Oh! So
one, it's basically one oar fits all.
I like that. I like that.
Ambidextrous.
How much does an oar run these days for?
I'm not even going to tell you because it's expensive. Ooh. It pissed me off. With the it's about about $49.
What? Oof.
Yeah.
For something you can whittle out of wood?
Well, not to go on the little screw thing that I'm not happy about this.
Proprietary.
No, you shouldn't be.
No, I'm not happy about this at all. But it just between the 1-2 punch of the online issue that you know about. Mm-hmm. And then this thing, I just, my faith in humanity,
it's tough.
You know, is,
you, gotta build
you know,
it, back up.
It just, it get, and then, you know, you look at the innocence of a child and you say that, and I'm just, I'm not having a pity party for myself.
No.
I'm just, I'm trying to say, here's the state. You wonder why your boy pops in here in a state of pissed offness occasionally. Well, there's your answer. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's your answer as, you know, and meanwhile, the great unwashed, the great cattle run up here from in the places I live with the 80-year-olds is, you know, give me a sandwich and then get in. I have to shit now. You know what I mean? That's it.
All right.
Meanwhile, lambs to the slaughter, really. And yeah. By the way, and when theft takes place with these people, it's just eyebrows up at the hairline. I don't know. And then they came in and they did this because they it's just, it wears my ass out. I want to pack a sidearm. I want to be like Wild Wild West. I want to look like Kurt Russell in Tombstone.
Yeah.
And
shoot the orca.
I'd just like to walk down to the end of the dock, like see somebody doing that. And go, yeah. Skin it. Go ahead. Skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
when you're talking to your son and you mentioned that sometimes they're just bad people.
Yeah.
Did you bring up even in a very round term for kids like of karma? And it's, you know, you can't be that way. Because, you know,
we used it as a teaching moment, Rob, if that's your question.
Yeah,
we used it as a teaching moment to, you know, we said, now, listen, always steal from them before they can steal from you.
Good for you, Mike.
That's what I said to him. I said, make sure you steal from them before
steal it
they
first.
Can steal right. from you. Hit them first before if you're thinking there's even a possibility they're going to punch you. Punch them first. As hard as you can, right in the temple.
What do they do in that show? Like, is it Animal Kingdom?
The one that I sort of backed off and
you backed out of that guy.
Well, I have to cop to being a bit prudish.
Oh, wow.
I was not a fan of the man-on-man sex scenes. Not because I'm a homophobe.
No.
Right.
I believe in gay marriage and gay rights, and I support them with my pocketbook and my
it
politics
can get graphic
and everything else.
On both sides.
But it gets a little graphic, but because perhaps I am, by birth, a heterosexual, I probably can tolerate both the Ann Lister Gentleman Jack love scenes and the Animal Kingdom, nudity on the ladies. What I have trouble is the boy that's in that Animal Kingdom scene. Well, not just, it's this particular guy. I'm just not attracted to him. And I'm not attracted to him. And he's the surfer that's the love interest of one of the brothers.
Yeah, one of the brothers.
And I don't like him. He looks like a lizard. I don't like him and he scares me. And so when he's up,
Does he have the look of a guy that might steal an oar?
No, he's about to double cross the Cody's, though.
Yeah, well, you tried to smuggle coke in his surfboard. Yeah. Of course, he's stealing ore.
Yeah.
But when he's up at the sink, and I just, that's when I drew my, he gets up with his butt cheeks at the sink, and the brother gets up, and that's when I was literally, I had a real old man moment. Because Carl and I are watching that, I'm like, oh, and so I'm watching this, and I go, Okay.
That's four cheeks.
I'm telling the truth. There are not a lot of
four
people.
Four too many.
There are not a lot of people that are telling this story. Right. I'm being honest about my sexuality and what I. And so my reaction was like, all right, okay. And, you know, they didn't go much further with it, but it was just like, you know, how do I put this delicately? Because we still try to keep this relatively radio friendly.
Friendly.
There was a aircraft carrier at sea, and the jet was coming into the aircraft, and I didn't. That's when I went, all right, okay.
Yeah, you said, I have my fill of military movies.
Shannon
at
that point is always like, oh man, they've got great quads. And I'm like,
they're incredible bodies. These men are phenomenally fit. And except for the guy with the greasy long hair, the tall guy, he's a little schlubby. I mean, for in the area of Hollywood fitness,
he's got four abs and not six.
He's got four abs, not six. Yeah. That's how I would describe. And Ellen Barkin at her advanced age is fabulous looking.
Well, but no, she's going through some health issues. Her character is on the show.
Yeah, very much so. Oh, that's right.
I wanted to mention
I got about three to catch up. I might watch it tonight.
Yeah, no spoiler alerts. You'll see that. I don't even know what's you're just getting into like what is happening in the season.
I see.
Right. Exactly.
And there is something that they did in one of these episodes where they wanted to clear all the all the fingerprints. And I just keep thinking about Mike and someone stealing his boat.
Yeah.
Like, if we had the knowledge, sometimes we're so neurotic that, like, I would fingerprint something like that if I knew how to do it.
Another thing about this type of world up here, okay, where summer folk waltz in, right? They're all concerned about everything, right? Every little detail. You know what they're not concerned about? People jacking crap down at the dock. You put a camera, costs you $250.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You put a wireless camera down there, battery operator, or even wire it into
Mike, you could just do, we could do Ring. Like, you have the infrared Ring.
Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly. Put a floodlight camera there.
Yeah.
And just run a longer cord down there and attach it to some.
And get on that speaker and say, put that horn down.
You know what? God, no, I'm not. Nope, nope.
That, get involved, this year, Mike.
No,
make a change.
I'm not going to get
neighborhood watch.
That was real. That was real. They wanted to say, no. I'm not going to do it this year. I'm not. Because if I do that, it'll be a 6-day conversation. It'll be going through. You got to talk to so and so. Got to, no, F them. F them. They know that. It's logical. What I'll do is what I always do. Like everybody, I'll just flap my gums at a cocktail party and just go, you know what you really need? And they'll go, that's a good idea. We're not going to do it. You know, if people were telling the truth, I would say, you know what you really need, but I know nobody's going to do anything about it. That's a great idea. But, you know, you always have a lot of great ideas because you like to flap your gums, but you're really meaningless.
Before you do anything, just to be sure, have you checked Kathy's house?
No, I have not. No. By the way, because I didn't want to go over there and tell the big sister right away that you know, it's like, Kathy, and you know what she'd do? Well, all right, so you get another one. That's exactly how she'd do it. That's what she'd say.
Can we get an instant replay of that? Can I play you in the situation?
Yeah, go ahead. What did you say?
Hey, Kathy, I just wanted to tell you, I went down to the dock the other day and one of the oars got stolen off the dinghy.
You know, just get another one.
And scene.
Another one.
That's
and
so
scene.
True.
That's it. Yeah. But anyway, everything's fine.
Get over it, Canada.
Get over it.
Everything's fine.
Up here
in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Right. Well, you also have.
And you know, to the people that did it, more power to you. Go ahead. Steal the whole damn thing. Steal every boat in the harbor. I don't know.
Is it possible?
And this go down is there just, tomorrow this and is, all right. the boats are gone.
This is just a random. Are there any kids in Kathy's family that are there visiting at the moment?
No. Not currently.
Okay,
and the kids that were visiting were all little bitties.
Okay. So, because
they wouldn't be at a dock.
I could see, and maybe this logic is flawed, that Kathy got off. She's like, oh, I don't want anybody to steal this whole thing. I'm going to take an oar to kind of push them away from all of this. Just like to have one less oar.
Okay.
So you don't have everything in the dinghy. No? No?
Look, anything could happen. It could have been, it was a little stormy. It could have popped off. I don't know. But what the combination of the way it was tied up to the dock and the oar, that was my
It was a joyride.
Inspector Gadget.
Fishing.
Right.
Joyride,
exactly. Yeah. Speaking of television, I want to mention this. I want to give a big shout out to Stephen Douglas McIntyre for his recommendation of, let me write it down.
Woo!
I wrote it down.
SDF.
Scott and Bailey. Scott and Bailey on Amazon. Great show. Got that lady that I like, Saran Jones.
Another show for her.
Scott.
Yeah.
And what is this show?
Anything from her people yet? Anything from, have you reached out?
Yes, I have, and they're in Great Britain.
Scott,
I haven't heard from them yet. But what is this show about?
It is a detective show, like almost like a British version of Law and Order.
It's very, set in present day.
It's absolutely spectacular.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Everything she does is good. And it's the same lady, by the way, that wrote Gentleman Jack. So this is their first collaboration, I believe. And it's Scott and Bailey. Stephen Douglas McIntyre gave me the recommendation. It's fantastic.
So is
I think
it like
I'm on
a,
my fourth episode. It's awesome.
Is it
it's
like great. What they call a procedural where they go through and solve a mystery in every episode?
But different, but a little bit, but a lot more personal life going on with
oh,
all
arcs,
this.
Story
and
arcs.
It's
yeah.
just, it's really, they, really good stuff.
These ladies right here, Scott and Bailey?
Yeah.
Are they
and
lesbians?
Their relationship, the blonde lady, the older lady that's the blonde lady.
They dating?
No, they're not dating. They both have their relationship, but she is such a, you really think, I've known female cops. I've dated female cops.
Yes.
And I will tell you, they've got that cop vibe.
Set in the UK?
Set in the UK.
Oh,
and
I like
very
that.
British. Very British. Lots of British lingo that I
they
that
They say
I pick
flat
up on.
Instead of apartment. They say
well,
lift
let's just
instead
put it
of
this
elevator.
Way. It's why I put subtitles up. Because it's hard to
one of
really get it all.
Yeah.
We'll go with that one. We won't go with the fact that I just turned 60 and I put subtitles on because I can't hear a goddamn thing.
Hi, I'm Ina Garten. My favorite podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show, is incredibly funny. But sometimes when I want to listen, my hands are full. Literally.
It's not easy to download a podcast with a fistful of roasted eggplant spread covered with a reduced garlic aioli. Or if your 10 little piggies are cradling a standing rib roast with a crispy Gruyere Yorkshire pudding. That's why when I'm in the Barefoot Contessa kitchens, I rely on Alexa. How easy is that? All I have to say is, hey Alexa, play the Mike O'Mara Show. And the most recent episode plays right away. How easy is that? Even Jeffrey can do it. And I actually really hate him. In fact, we really hate each other. It's like being married to a hobbit. How tragic is that? TMOS and Alexa, they go together like little thin slices of salami and caperberry. Now back to my custard.
The best of O'Mara.
You know what that music means. From Pahrumph, Nevada, the man, the legend, one of the finest handicappers in all of sports, and a man who will guide you through your fantasy football league in this very confusing NFL season. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mr. Nicholas Nicky Diamond. Nicky!
Yay!
Yippee-ki-yay, fellas!
There he is. Love it when you get all Western on us, Nicky. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm great. I'm ready for week three. Sorry about missing you last week. Got slammed over here at the old 9-to-5. You know how it is? I'm working, man.
Yeah, well, you know what, Nicky? Based on your situation financially in the previous years, I'm delighted to hear that you have gainful employment. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. I don't mind if I just sip this delicious Moroccan mint green tea made daily by Pahrumph Valley Roast.
Okay, Nicky, we've talked about it again. You can't do the product placement in our show. We have deals with it. We just did a product placement.
What if we have another coffee company we're working with?
Come on,
you
man.
Nicky, what is your 9-to-5? Are you working at the roaster shop? Is
I'm
that
glad
what you're doing?
I brought that up.
Oh, God. Here we go.
.com, yes. 301 South Oxbow Avenue, units 5 through 8. We take it over the block, baby.
Wow, three storefronts,
Nicky,
Mike.
Nicky, I asked you a direct question. I asked you if you're working full-time. Are you working at the coffee shop?
Yes, I'm working there. It's a little bit inconsistent hours right now. But
barista. You're I'm a barista. Sure you with, said that last week.
Yes. What's that? Anyway, I was wondering if I could get a fruitcake, Spurlock. Is that still on the table?
I'm sorry. Well, the deadline has been met. We can no longer sell fruitcakes, Nick.
That's too bad. What if we did a trade? I'm a bit of a baker myself. I've auditioned for the British Baking Show 5 straight years now.
What do you bake, Nicky?
The Great British Baking Show? You auditioned for that?
Now I'm curious. The British Baking Show.
The Great British Baking Show.
The Great British. Yes. Well, Nicky, what's your specialty, brother?
The sticky buns. Sticky Nicky.
Did you come close to winning, or what happened with that little situation?
No, I've never got a reply for my submission tape, but whatever. Maybe it's a racism against America.
I don't think so, Nicky. I don't think it works that way. What is the secret to your delicious sticky buns?
Butterscotch. Butter and scotch, not.
Nicky Diamond, I had no idea you were a baker. Do you bake at your group home that you live in, at the house you share with the fraternity boys?
They don't deserve my delicious home cooked meals. Those friggin' animals, those savages, those beasts. They will get nothing from me.
Okay, calm down, Nicky.
6 days late every month.
The rest late all the time.
All the time.
Nicky, it's time to move on to the NFL. I don't even have the games in front of me. I know last week, Nicky, was a bit of a confusing week in the NFL. It was a little rough.
Well, you know, week two, you think you learned something from week one, and then week two, you find out you don't know squat. So that's the way the NFL is. They don't really play guys in the preseason. It's a feeling out process. Starting in this week and next, we'll start to see who's really who.
That's exciting, Nicky. I'm looking forward to it. Yes, Oscar Santana.
Any insight on your Washington Redskins or our Washington Redskins?
Yeah.
1-1. It looked like they had a fantastic opener for the season, and then they all fell apart. They fell apart!
Look, they play better on the road. They come home. The stadium's just a dump. The half empty. It is lifeless. The other team, the Colts, they're desperate. The Luck, you know, got one game under his belt. They came out with a great game plan, and they really just beat him up. This week, it's Green Bay. You got Aaron Rodgers, but he's on one leg. The Redskins, I think they'll play better than last week, but I see it's hard to defeat Aaron Rodgers.
What is the spread that you see happening? What's it will be? A Packers victory?
They will play it close. It's a 2.5-point spread. I see that the Packers get a late touchdown to pull away and win this 24-7.
I forget which team is your team, but are you rooting for Oakland these days? What's your story?
I'm rooting for whatever makes me money, Bermuda Boy. You should know that. We know you don't have your favorite podcast. It's all about the cash.
Nikki, I got to ask you about my beloved New York Giants. They're having a rough start again. Eli, not getting it done again. This week, it's the Texans, I believe. Isn't that right?
Well, 2-0 and two teams. Neither team has gotten good quarterback play. Look, the thing with the Giants is they have no quarterback, no offensive line. It doesn't matter who you have at running back. They're not going to be any good with that combination.
Yeah, so that's true.
I think that they will bounce back this week. I think they have too many explosive guys on offense. And Beckham will break through. And it'll be an ugly game. But I see your Giants, Mike. You're very loyal. You always stay with one team your whole life. They will
Thank
definitely
you.
Pull through and go to 1-2.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that. That'll make it a game that I like. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
And one question. Will Cleveland finally win a game this week? Will they give that Bud Light to the town of Cleveland?
You know what? If you want to pick Cleveland, their defense has been outstanding. They should.
That's tonight. Baby.
Tonight!
Tonight. You know what? The Browns, what are they, 1-36 or something in the last two years? I say it's Thursday Night Football! Cleveland, it's a miracle. You're going to win a game. Brownies, baby. They're going to do it. They're going to bring in Baker Mayfield at halftime. He's going to come in for Tyrod Taylor. Lead him to the victory. Cleveland's going to go crazy. They're going to have a parade on Monday. It's the Browns.
Man, he normally only gets excited after either the carry or the Merle.
That's right.
We haven't even gotten to that yet. Nikki, what do you want to do first, the carry or the Merle?
Or your pick of the week.
Or your pick of the week.
So many,
I always so forget.
It's almost like picking between a fruitcake or a...
Send me the script.
Let's go with the Merle. The state of Florida is 6-0. They have 3 2-0 teams.
Amazing.
The Raiders this week travel all the way from Oakland. Eventually, they'll be traveling from my town, Vegas, all the way to Miami. It'll be hot. It's a 1 p.m. game. They'll be on jet lag. They will be half asleep. The Dolphins giving 3 points. They're going to win easy, 27-13. Merle, it's a definite, it's a sure thing, baby. Dolphins defeat the Raiders. Chucky 0-3. Suck it. You could have been in the booth, bitch.
Wow. Do you have a sleeper? Do you have a carry this week?
Yes. Don't sleep on this player. Matt Breida, San Francisco 49ers running back. Their main guy got hurt in preseason. McKinnon, this guy's come out of nowhere. They're playing the Chiefs. They're going to have to score the ball. It's going to be a shootout. Breida will get 100 yards and a touchdown. But your diamond pick of the week.
There it is.
The Vikings, they're playing the Bills. It's going to be, sorry, Jimmy Cerrito. If you had fruitcake on your recipe, the restaurant would be doing better. But it's going to be a rough year for the Bills. The Vikings are going to destroy them. Stephon Diggs has been the main guy. But this week, it's his counterpart, Adam Thielen, 150 yards and a touchdown against the lousy Bills, the Vikings, they're running a roll. Thielen, the diamond pick of the week. He's going to light them up.
There he goes. Wow, you can tell he's working in a caffeinated environment.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You, Nikki. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. And now another pre-written commercial by Rob Spiewak. Brought to you by the bonus packages. It's a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, Rebel spies managed to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death Star. An armored space station with enough power to destroy an entire planet. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship, custodian of the stolen plans that can save her people and restore freedom to the galaxy. But she'd give up the plans in a second in exchange for a one-year subscription to the TMOS bonus show. It's Obie Wonderful. You too can listen to a 6th Uncensored commercial-free episode of TMOS every week for just pennies. Order the TMOS bonus show and you'll be happier than the Cantina customers at Mos Eisley on Tatooine. Click the banner on our website and you get access to all of our bonus content and you'll be helping TMOS. So please buy the TMOS bonus show and may the comedic force be with you. The TMOS bonus show brought to you by the O-Cedar Easy Ring Spin Mop and Bucket System. O-Cedar makes your life easier. Thank you very much. And now let's get back to the show. Here's the Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak, everybody.
Hey,
makes your life easier.
Hey, congratulations to the U.S. women's soccer team.
Oh, wow.
They beat Spain yesterday 2-1 and advanced to the quarterfinals. Here's the deal. They played a penalty kick at the end of the game that broke a 1-1 tie. It was very exciting.
Game on the line.
This is cool.
Rapino will strike. Rapino scores. 2-1 U.S. That's it. U.S. is going to the quarterfinals. A date with friends on Friday.
Be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Also, a change for the team because they've been destroying their competition up until now.
So it's getting tighter now.
As Rob Spiewak likes to say, they had a real nail biter there.
They did.
And they were nicer nails than like in the men's side.
Yeah. Ruined a perfectly good manicure.
That's right. Absolutely. French manicure.
Mike, I know you love Shaquille O'Neal. Last night, were you all, I know all of America, well, the whole world was watching the NBA Awards. Whatever they are. And
I was watching the Boston Red Sox walk off win against the Chicago White Sox. Thank you very much.
Ah, you got the fever again?
No.
World Series?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh. But Shaq hosted, and he had one opening monologue joke that I really enjoyed.
I slimmed down, lost a lot of weight, almost 145 pounds. You want to know how I did it, Charles Barkley? I got divorced. Sharif, don't tell your mama I said that. But I give my ex-wife credit. She's a great housekeeper. She got to keep the house in Orlando, the house in Miami, and the house in L.A.
I had never heard the housekeeping joke before, and I love
Shaq it. Shaq really got divorced, huh?
Yeah.
That's such an old joke. I lost 145.
Yeah, he lost 145-pound wife.
That's okay. Such an old
three place. Homes.
Only Shaq can get. Mm-hmm. Yeah, three houses.
Three homes.
Wow. Not too bad, Shaq.
Before we play this next tape, I want you guys to know that the cat is okay.
Thank
his
you.
Name really? Is Felix.
Okay.
He's a Minnesota cat, and his extraordinarily intelligent owner did not realize that Felix had climbed into the washing machine before she started the cycle.
My cat went through the wash cycle. He's our little miracle kitty, so
baby talker.
Praying for a full recovery. One godsend is it was on express wash, then heard a little meow. All of a sudden, I saw a little white back foot go up in the air, and I can't even tell you what that was like. But I mean, he must have slipped in there when I turned my back. We're not sure if he recognizes us yet. He's like leaning forward and wanting to be petted. So that gives me some hope that he knows somebody cares.
That's right. Her whites have never been whiter.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance that happened because she's an airhead?
Maybe. Could be.
Okay. Just checking.
Surprised she knew how to start the washing machine.
Saw a little bitty pot, and then I talk like this. I'm an adult. And I talk like this, even I'm a grown-up.
What do people talk like that?
Why would you go on the news with that story?
Also, later that
day. That voice. Well, fake the voice. When it came out, I saw the cat's paw.
Hi. Yeah.
Then she opened her dishwasher and a goat came out.
Daddy.
So I know that we all love to gamble, and we have our particular vices. Do you ever play the lottery, like the pick three or the pick four?
The regular, I play the Powerball.
Powerball,
the
but
big,
not like the little guys. My dad is a big guy for playing the lottery. My mom used to play the pick three here in D.C., and she had a strategy in that she would always play the number 444 because you didn't have to box it that way. Because, you know, if you played, say, 1-2-3, you can box it. That way you win if it's 1-2-3, 2-1-3, 3-2-1. But if it's 4-4-4.
That's interesting, 'cause I thought your father only boxed women under 30 on Facebook.
I want to tell you.
I want to tell you, everybody. There you go. Friend me.
You went to high school with my son. How you doing?
Yay for you.
But this doesn't happen a lot. Check out the pick four North Carolina had over the weekend.
Now it's time for game number two, the Carolina pick four. Check your tickets. Here we go. Good luck. The first winning number zero.
Second pick four, another zero. Third pick four, another zero. And our final pick four is another zero. Wow. Thanks for playing.
Pick four was 0-0-0, and depending on how much you play, you won either $2,500 or $5,000. It was the biggest payout ever. So apparently for pick four,
a lot of people play.
A lot of common
play
four zeros. I've never seen it go down like
That's living, too. Saturday night watching the North Carolina lottery.
Oh, yeah.
It's, well, yes, right. 0-0-0-0.
I bet it goes, what do you think, between Jeopardy and Wheel?
Probably. Yeah. Or late after the local news.
Could be. Did you know Jeff Goldblum has never played a video game?
I did not.
Weird.
I did not know that. No.
But here's what I love is that he's been on video games. He actually did something for Call of Duty. But if you go far enough back, the original Jurassic Park video game, he does a voice on it. And it's funny. He's never played a video game, but he's appeared on it.
Way to go. You made it through. You made it through. You spent all that time and now you're done. You did. That's quite an achievement. Well, you are something. Thank you for sticking with it, for not giving up. That is really something. Now, you know what you should do? Turn the thing off, for heaven's sakes, and go outside. Breathe the air, take a walk, call a member of the opposite sex. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you have a whole life
out there.
Is
that the game?
Get the stink blown
off. That's cool.
Just go. Go, really. Turn off.
So when you beat the Jurassic Park game, he tells you to turn off the machine and go outside.
He maintained his artistic integrity on the game, on the video game, by giving that line.
So
go out and enjoy the world. There you go. What are you doing? You're sitting there. Get away from that tube. That's foolish.
Let's close with this, Mike, because you've had a preschooler graduate. I have. And this is from Twitter. It was all over the place yesterday. A preschool kid at a preschool graduation ceremony. Maybe he needs to learn his manners a little better.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You need to leave?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So she says, do you need to leave? He says, no, bitch.
Oh.
So one more time. Again. One more time.
Oh, my
God. Good afternoon, Paris. Good afternoon, boys and girls.
Shut the
up.
Hey. Not nice.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
You need to.
How about the dad that says, that's not nice? Although I would say, if I went through an entire year of preschool with a teacher that yelled like that,
yeah, give me a three
I might do it.
Give me a three for
Paris. Good afternoon, boys and girls.
Shut the
f-
hey.
Hey. Hey.
No, thank you.
The Tony Soprano.
Hey. Anyway, I'm sure he'll do well in the next graduation in 18 years. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a good Tuesday, everybody.
Oh, wow. Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.